1636 was about 150 years before our American Revolution. That was a school that was on fire for God. In fact, that school was responsible for training all of the clergy in colonial America. And most of our founding fathers either went to a school like this, and there were several of them on the East Coast, we call them the Ivy League, or they were influenced by ministers coming from that school. And yet today, I can tell you this, as an American, that school is about as far away from God as you can get. In fact, most of the graduates of that school would be shocked to discover that this was how the school founded. And if you were in colonial America and you saw the Lord using Harvard, you would say to yourself, wow, that school will never go liberal. And yet, over time, that's what happened. See, the very last institution you would ever think would go astray can and will go astray, the Bible says. This man here on the right is Francis J. Beckwith. I don't know if anybody knows who he is. In 2007, Francis J. Beckwith was a member of the Evangelical Theological Society, which supposedly is the top school of evangelical, Bible-believing academics in the world. It's a society, sort of a think tank type group. Francis J. Beckwith is not just a member, but in 2007, he's the president. 2007, if you were to ask, well, who is the top Bible-believing evangelical scholar in the world? Everybody would say Francis J. Beckwith. And right in the midst of his term, he decides to say to everybody, you know what, I'm tired of Protestant Christianity. I'm going back to my Roman Catholic roots. And he does this as the president. Now, you see this oftentimes. People leave the Bible-believing world and retreat back into a tradition-oriented church. And I always, when they give their rationale, I'm always listening very carefully. Why are they doing it? You know what you never hear? I was studying my Bible, and I decided to go back. They never say that. Francis J. Beckwith, you know what he was studying? The Church Fathers. Or people say, I like the tradition. I like the feeling that it gives me. I like the history. They never say, I was looking at my Bible and I decided to jump backwards. And in 2007, if you were to say Francis J. Beckwith is going to leave Christianity and go back to Roman Catholicism, you probably would have been laughed at, and yet in that very year, that's exactly what happened. This is the biblical nature of apostasy. The last people or persons you would ever think could be involved in it get involved in it. Number six, apostasy can happen quickly. We have a tendency to think that it takes multiple generations for apostasy to occur, and yet that's not true. What does Paul say in the book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6? He says, I marvel. Marvel basically means I'm astonished. I marvel that you are so soon, turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Now, do you know your New Testament history well? Paul went on missionary journey 1. The green line is the trip out. The red line is the trip back. And on that first missionary journey, he planted all of those churches in southern Galatia about AD 48. He gets back to Syrian Antioch. Watch this. 6 months to 1 year later. And he gets word of what has happened. And when he gets word, he says, I marvel how you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Watch this. Within 6 months to a year, they had left Paul, what, on some minor issue? No, the gospel of grace itself. And Paul says, I can't believe it's happened so fast. See how he makes reference to so soon? It doesn't take multiple generations for apostasy to happen. It can happen pronto. Exodus 32 and verse 8, the golden calf incident, it says this, they have turned aside quickly. If I'm understanding that statement right, it's about 40 days. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. And they broke within 40 days the first two commandments God ever gave. What about the church at Ephesus? How long did it take them to apostatize? As I mentioned before, several letters in the New Testament are written to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Ephesians probably written about AD 60. 1 Timothy probably written about AD 62. 2 Timothy probably written about AD 67. And then Jesus in AD 95 speaks to the church at Ephesus. That's just 3 decades. And they, as we have studied, left their first love within 30 years. You see, apostasy can happen very, very fast. I have evidence of this in my own life. The church where I was saved as a young man. The church where I was nurtured by a godly youth pastor and a godly pastor. Throughout my high school years, I left that church to attend college elsewhere, and I came back. There was a longer stint. After college, I went on to law school, and following all of those years of study, I went back to that church. And let me tell you something, it was a different place. Same people to a large extent, same leadership, but they were saying things that I never remember them saying before. We don't mention blood anymore in this church. Because that's offensive to people. We don't talk about prophecy or the end times because that causes division. We want people to feel good when they come here. So we don't emphasize words like repentance, sin, hell, and things like that. And it was such an eerie thing because in my mind I remember that church, what it was like in my nurturing years. And to see the whole thing shift in such a short period of time through a new philosophy of ministry was a shocking thing to me. I just had to pinch myself to see if it was really true. I ultimately had to leave that church. But you see, apostasy can happen rapidly. Number 7, apostasy is satanically energized. Just like the ultimate root behind anti-Semitism is the devil, the ultimate root behind apostasy itself is Satan. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3, Paul says, I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, Adam and Eve had the easiest job description on planet Earth. There were virtually no restrictions placed on them except one. Do not eat from the tree of knowledge. And how the serpent beguiled Eve. And I don't let Adam off the hook because at least Eve had to be deceived. Adam just followed his wife without even having to be tempted. But how the serpent took something so simple and made it complicated. Paul says to the Corinthian church, I'm worried the same thing's going to happen to you. Because isn't the gospel simple? Isn't the gospel so easy that a child can understand the gospel?